Amen. We're going to continue on with our series that we started last week. Our series called How To. And in this series, I talked about how to please God. Remember that last week? How do we please God? Anybody? There's one big name that you need to know. Jesus. Thank you. How to please God. It was only through Jesus. Remember? That we can never do anything on our own to be right with God. It's only through Jesus. Well, today we're going to continue on with that series. And I have these three roads. I like this picture because it kind of illustrates the intersecting of three things for me. The first would be tools, knowledge, and desire. You need to have these three things in order to do anything. Okay? You need to have tools, whatever it is you need to do. You need to have the knowledge how to do it. Then you need to have the desire to get off your rear end to get it done. Right? If you're writing a term paper, maybe you need a computer and a laptop and paper to print it out. You need to have the knowledge of how to do that, and then you need the desire to actually get it done. You can have a brand new computer, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have desire, it's never going to get done, right? Sometimes the difference between an A student and an F student sometimes is desire. Sometimes we're just lazy. You got a conversation in your pocket. Yeah. It's wow. If you want to cook an apple cobbler, right? I love this man over here. What do you need? You need the cobbler stuff, right? Well, what do you need? What are the ingredients? Well, not all the ingredients, because we don't give away our secrets, but we need apples, right? What?
Sugar, cinnamon, lemon.
Butter?
Yeah, flour.
Yeah, flour? I wouldn't have thought lemon. Wow, see? Awesome. And I know you need ice cream on top, okay? And you need an oven, right, to bake it in. Yeah. That was good stuff. You need the knowledge, so now you have some of the ingredients, but it's not going to come out like Leo's because you don't have the knowledge of how to do it. You'll need to get that from him. But you also need to have the desire, right? And I'm glad you had the desire. Thank you that day for making me apple cobbler. I gave the story last week of my starter dying. Remember, I said a year ago my starter on my car died. Well, guess what? I got a new story of my starter dying. Last night, I changed my starter again. It died on me. Thank goodness for Pep Boys' lifetime warranty because it was free. I still had to do the work, but free starter. It's $175, by the way, for my Saturn. So I'm glad I kept the receipt. Keep your receipt. Okay. So I went back, they gave me a free starter, but last night as the sun was going down, I'm underneath the car, putting the bolts on, saying, man, I got another story of putting a starter on the car. But thank the Lord, for the second time, it broke down at my dad's house, literally, right next to the toolbox, again. Amazing. I still have the grease under my fingernails, but I was doing it last night. That's the Lord. I told Donna, that's Jesus. Because we took the car to Franklin Institute not long ago. It could have broke down up there. Thank goodness it broke down right next to the toolbox. So I was able to jack it up and get it done. One thing I had trouble with yesterday was desire. In fact, I even said that. Knowing I'm preaching on this, I'm looking at the car. My dad's floor jack is like 400 pounds. You have to pick it up and move it around, but I got to do it. So I made myself do it and get it done. Well, with anything we want to do in life, we need to have knowledge, tools, and desire. Last week we talked about getting right with God is only through Jesus. What were the tools? It was the cross, right? And it was His life. The knowledge, the only one who could save us is Jesus. He had all the knowledge and He did it. Thank the Lord. And the desire is the desire to receive Him, right? It's not enough to just know about the cross, and it's not enough to just know Jesus. You need to receive that gift. You need to have the desire to receive Him. Well, moving on today, we're going to talk about how to grow in God. And today I'm going to start sharing some tools to grow in God, the knowledge behind it, and the desire I can't share. That's the part you need to bring with that. So I'm going to ask you to... Okay, here we go. With knowledge and tools, we talked about that. Desire's on you. Today, oh, geez, we just already did this. Look at that. Should have clicked. All right, moving on. Turn to Matthew 28. Page 760. I see the time. I'm going to preach fast. Let's see. Everybody laughs when I said I'm going to preach fast. Matthew 28:19. We're talking about growing in God. I think in Matthew 28:19, we're going to see the words of Jesus as He is actually getting ready to leave this planet, okay? To go back to heaven. Listen, we read last week, Jesus rose from the dead, right? They saw Him appear. He rose. He appeared to 500 followers. We read the verse last week. Jesus is doing great things. And He's getting ready to go to heaven at this point. We're actually going to look at verse 16 just to get some context. This is right before Jesus leaves to go back to heaven. It says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some of them doubted." Isn't that weird? Some of them doubted. Listen, some of your friends doubt Jesus, and they're going to doubt Him no matter what because they don't want to believe. Okay? It's nothing new. And if they could say, "Well, if I could only see Jesus in person." Well, Jesus was there. And people are like, that must be some guy dressed up like Him. Look at the holes in His hands. You can see through them. Must be special effects. Must have been hanging out with George Lucas, right? It's Jesus. He's right there. And some people doubted. What are you going to do? But He's getting ready to leave to go to heaven. Verse 18. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." So, who's in charge? Jesus. Awesome. Verse 19. "Therefore," because He's in charge and He tells us what to do, "therefore, go," what? "And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Let me walk through this quickly before we move on. To me, this passage is life-changing, and I believe, now I know, God spoke to me not long ago in regards to this passage and gave me clarity on who we are as a church, what we're supposed to do, and what God wants for all Christians, okay? Jesus says, go and make what? Disciples. He did not say converts. Right? He didn't say make converts. He says make disciples. What's a convert? A convert is someone who goes from their religion to your religion. That's a convert. A convert is somebody who shows up and says, okay, I'll worship your God now. And maybe they repeat a prayer. And maybe they sign a piece of paper and everybody hugs and claps and says, thank the Lord. Look at all the converts we have. They were converted to the faith. Maybe you go to a rally and a whole bunch of people come up front and we pray. And they say, that's a convert. Jesus says, make disciples. Okay? A disciple isn't just a convert. A disciple is a follower of Jesus, right? Right? It's not just someone who says they're a Christian. I know a pastor who refuses to use the word Christian because he thinks, and probably rightfully so, that a bunch of people have made the word Christian meaningless. Everybody's a Christian. They're cheating on their spouses, but they would still say they're a Christian. They give nothing in the offering ever, but they would still say they're a Christian and Jesus is number one, right? They steal from their boss. They don't show up. And when they do show up, they take things home with them. And they would still say they're a Christian. They watch the nastiest movies in the world. They never read their Bible. They never pray. They never witness. They never show up to help at church. They never do anything except, you know, hang out and just be. And they would call themselves a Christian. And the pastor I know says, we will never use that word again because it doesn't mean anything anymore. And he wished it did, but it doesn't mean anything. So he uses the word Christ follower. And you've heard me use that as well. That we want to follow Jesus, right? We want to be a disciple. It's probably even a better word, to be a disciple of Jesus. Lowercase d. Capital D disciples were those 12 guys that followed Jesus and wrote books of the Bible. We'll never be those guys, but we can be the lowercase d disciples. That's who we should be. And we should follow Jesus. So, what is a disciple? Go and make disciples, not converts. What is a disciple? Answer is in this passage. A disciple is somebody who obeys. Isn't that simple? You obey. Right? How many people come to church, say a prayer, check a box, and they never obey? A disciple is somebody who obeys. We obey Jesus. Isn't that simple? So what are we supposed to do as a church? We're supposed to make people who obey Jesus. Done. That's it. Do we need volleyball tournaments? No. Do we need kickball Sundays like we have scheduled? No, it's not about kickball. It's about making disciples. Will we play kickball? Yes. But we'll play kickball knowing it's really about making disciples. Kickball is something we do with fun, fellowship. But we need to be about making disciples. And actually, to be honest with you, it doesn't start with you saying, I want to make disciples. It starts with you saying, I want to be a disciple. Do you see that? Because you will never reproduce anything you are not. You'll never reproduce anything that you're not. You only reproduce who you are. Do you hear that? That's profound. You will only reproduce who you are. If you want your kids to be honest, then you need to be honest first. Because if you're dishonest, you're going to raise dishonest children. You only reproduce who you are. As a pastor, I only reproduce who I am as a church. If I don't love Jesus, you won't love Jesus. It works that way in your home. If you don't love Jesus, your kids won't love Jesus. If you're fakey, your kids will be fakey. It's just how it works. So that's why we need to pause and say, God wants us to become disciples. I want to do that. What does that mean? It means I'm somebody who obeys. Okay? I'm not just somebody who says, I'll sign on the dotted line and just like you sign everything else. But somebody who says, you know, I'm going to give God my heart. And when He tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. What's one of the first things He tells us to do when you become a Christian? Be baptized in water. Do you see that in that passage we just read? Baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because God wants us to obey. What's the first thing we do? We obey. He says, get baptized. Well, I don't like water. Get baptized. We had people who don't like water, right? Right? People who didn't like water got baptized. Doris, good day, right? Doris hated the whole concept of being baptized because she didn't want to do that in the water. It was kind of a terrifying thing for her. And thank the Lord she did it. It was such a precious moment when we baptized her in Jean's yard, right? And it was awesome. It's a good thing to obey Jesus. And we didn't even drown her. Thank the Lord. So God wants us to be disciples who obey Jesus, which is baptism, which is also walking with Him. He says, I'm with you always. Jesus wants us to walk with Him on a daily basis, right? Doesn't He? He wants us to be with Him. That's why He said, I'm with you always, to let you know that you can talk to Him on your way to work. You can have a relationship with Him when you're fighting with your spouse. You could say, time out. I need to go talk with Jesus because I'm getting too aggravated here, right? Jesus is there for you, working in you, through you, to help you to obey. And what's the other thing he says? He wants you to make other disciples, right? To go and make other disciples. The big point here that I want to make here is God doesn't want us just to show up and not grow in Him. We should grow. That's the part of becoming a disciple, is growing spiritually mature. Okay? 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but Paul has this phrase in 2 Corinthians 13. He closes out the book saying, I close my letters with these last words, be joyful, grow to maturity. Paul says, you need to grow up in the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, I want to grow in Jesus. Right? That's a good thing. You'll never arrive at the place where you're fully grown in the Lord. It's a walk, and we always grow. How to grow in God. Again, we talked about knowledge, and you need tools. This is the only one we're doing today. We need to talk to God. The knowledge is, I know I need to talk to God. God gave us a tool to be able to do that. And what's the tool? Prayer. You guys did a good job reading. It's prayer. Right? It's prayer. God gave us this awesome time, this awesome tool to communicate with Him. Okay? And we need to use it. How would a marriage be? Well, let's my marriage. How would my marriage be if I never talked to my spouse? I think I'm free Monday night for counseling. If you guys want to, we'll schedule. Wow. Contrary to what Bill says, it won't be that good, will it? You need to communicate, right? Think of when you were in love and you were young. Still, yeah? Good, good. You need to... You going to smack them? Wow. Okay. With your... Right. You need to communicate. Because what will happen is your marriage will grow cold. Won't it grow cold? And it'll ultimately die. In your marriage, you need to communicate. You do. You need to talk. You need to shut off the TV once in a while. That can be our thing in our home. We don't even watch a lot of TV. But it seems like it's on a lot. It's on ESPN, it's on NFL Network when there's no football, but it's just on, wasting electricity. But it's just noise in the house, and sometimes it's nice to turn it off and sit down with my wife, my daughter's in bed. Hi, who are you? And she'll say, I'm okay, who are you? And we'll kind of get to know each other again. We need to talk. Prayer is like that. Prayer isn't just about getting things from God. Also, another thought with prayer. It's not just about getting things from God. That can be part of it. God says you need to ask for your daily bread. You need to ask. So we need to do that. We need to talk to Him and ask. But also, prayer is about learning to grow in God as well. Did you know that? That through prayer, God changes us and teaches us things. Because prayer isn't just talking to God, it is listening to God as well. Just spending time with God. And in your middle of your prayer, give him a chance to talk. Just maybe be quiet for 30 seconds and just sit. Say, Lord, if you would like to speak to me today, I'm listening. And listen to God and let Him talk to you. Sometimes when we pray, we can move the hand of God and we'll see mighty things happen. Also, when we pray, God wants to move us sometimes and change us and teach us many things. Remember, we've talked about this a lot. We don't just love God because we want Him to give us stuff. We love God because we love God. And God is a good Father. Another thought with prayer before we move on to the next thing here is this. God always answers prayer. You may have heard this. God always answers prayer. And His answers are many times yes, no, and not yet. Yes, no, and not yet. And as a good father, that's what my answers are many times to my daughter. My daughter can say, Daddy, can I have this? And it's sometimes a great thing as a parent or as a dad to be able to say yes, and you bless your child. Sometimes she'll come to me, Daddy, can I have this? And she has a pile of, you know, candy and Nerds, and she wants to eat oranges and vanilla ice cream at the same time. As a loving dad, I say, no. Because I know Pop Rocks and ice cream might cause an explosion in her stomach. No. God in heaven sometimes tells us no. But it's not because He doesn't love us. It's because He's protecting us. And because it's not what's best. Sometimes we want what's good, and it's good. Maybe. It might be really good, but God looks down and says, yeah, but this is what's best for you. And God doesn't just look at making you happy. God's not so concerned with your happiness as He is your holiness. Right? God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be right with Him. And sometimes there's something that we want that'll just... It might make us happy, but God, who knows the future, knows this will be destructive to your life. And if I give this to you, it'll destroy you, it'll destroy your family, it'll destroy your relationship with Him. So sometimes God says no. He cares rightfully so more with our holiness than our happiness. Have you seen parents who only care about their kids' happiness? They're terrible parents, aren't they? Aren't they terrible? When they give the kid whatever they want, and their kids really turn into little monsters who have no discipline, who have problems all through their life. A loving parent sometimes says yes, sometimes says no, sometimes says not yet. Okay? Warm day the other day, my daughter says, let's go to the beach, Dad. 60 degrees, beautiful day, let's go to the beach. Well, it's not beach weather yet, is it? A moronic father would say, sure, get in the car, the water's 45, right? Yeah. No. A good dad says, not yet. Not yet. Trust me, wait. We'll get there. It'll be June. It'll be July. Just not yet, okay? Yes, no, not yet. Moving on, I'm going to share this quickly. This thought on how you can structure your prayers. If your prayer life is awesome, you don't need to use this at all. If you kind of need help with your prayer life, I want to show you this outline. I've showed this before, I think, on a Wednesday. It's on our blog as well. But take a look at this, and this may help you to learn how to structure your prayer time. Maybe if your prayers are just dry and you need a different way to look at praying, maybe this can be a blessing to you. Then I'm going to show an awesome video clip on prayer. Then we're going to pray, okay? So we'll walk through this quickly. Acts, it's A-C-T-S, kind of like Acts in the Bible, right? It's just four letters, but you can memorize it with that. The A is for adoration. That means we begin and end in worship, okay? So when you pray, a good way to start in prayer is you praise God for who He is. We do this. You probably heard me do this as we pray. God, we thank You for all that You've done. I thank You for what You've done in the past, right? Thank You, God, for my health. Thank You for this and that. And when you do that, it begins to stir up... Well, first of all, it honors God. And also, I think it stirs up our faith. Because if we know what... If we remind ourselves of what He's done, we know He's able to do it again. Do you see that? But Jesus taught His disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. You can actually use that outline as well. But He started with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Right? Started with prayer. with praising God, I mean, adoration. We worship Him. The C in Acts is confession. Confess and repent of all your sins. Be honest and take responsibility for your own actions. Don't say, Lord, I know I punched my boss in the mouth today, but it was his fault. It's like the only way maybe it was his fault is if you had a magnetized glove. Oh no, you had a steel glove on and he had a magnetized jaw and he got so close that it just went up and you had no control. Right? Outside of that, yeah, it's your fault. You know, maybe he pushed you. You shouldn't have swung, right? So you need to confess your sins and be honest. And repent of your sins. Remember, confession is agreeing with God. Confession is saying, God, you're right. I did all these things. Repentance is saying, but in your strength, I will do them no more, right? Repentance is change. Start the process of change at that point. And Lord willing, after you get done praying. The T, thanksgiving. Thank God for all He's done, right? Thank Him. God, I thank You for what You've done. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for working in my life. Thank You for taking care of me. And the S, supplication. Supplication is a fancy old school word that means praying for your needs. Pray for your needs and others. Be specific. Don't rush. The thought that people used to use, this phrase, you probably heard it, pray through. You've heard that? Probably not in a long time. Pray through. Sometimes it takes a while in prayer. Don't rush through prayer. Pray through. And then you end just like you began, as we said, with adoration. A great model for prayer. If you struggle, you don't have to use this, but if you struggle, it could be a good way to maybe help you. Let's start out with praising God. Thank You, God, for creating the universe. You're worthy of praise. I worship You. I confess my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm thankful for all that You've done in my life. Thank You for providing for me. Thank You for my job. And Lord, I pray for these needs. So-and-so sick. Help our finances. Right? You get the deal? And this is a great way just to kind of structure your prayer life. How long does your prayer life need to be? How long do you need to pray? It's totally up to you. For some people, they can pray for an hour. They pray for an hour. For some people, 5 minutes is tough. In that, take 5 minutes. You know? The thing is, if you begin to pray, even if it's 5 minutes, you will learn to grow in prayer. Okay? A great trick that I learned at Bible college I thought was awesome. Was the guy said, set a stopwatch. I have a stopwatch on my phone. Or set a stopwatch, or not an alarm, really. So that way, you'll know you set it for, if you're going to pray for 5 minutes, set it for 5 minutes. So that way, you don't have to worry about what time it is. Set it for 5 minutes. Have a pen and paper there in case you're remembering you need milk. So in the middle of prayer, thank You, Lord, for reminding me, milk. Go back to pray, right? Keep you focused. But pray until you hear that alarm. See, I'm going to take 5 minutes to worship Jesus. You're worthy of 5 minutes. I have 5 minutes. Don't worry about what time it is. Set the alarm and begin seeking God. Right? The alarm will tell you when the 5 minutes is done. Sometimes, even if you set it for 10 or 15 minutes, whatever time period you do, you may get to a point where you're all done. Like, I'm done. The alarm didn't ring yet. And then I want to say, just talk to Jesus. Maybe listen to Him. God, I'm going to listen to You right now. If You want to speak to me, do that. And just sit in silence. It's okay. Maybe you'll sense Him speaking to you. God still speaks to people today. When the alarm rings, you're done. You may find yourself saying, the alarm rings, shutting it off, but I'm still going to go for a couple more minutes. Do you know what I mean? You may find yourself growing. I think the more you pray, the more it'll grow. If you don't pray, it might be really awkward at first. But that's okay. That's okay. Just sit and listen. Maybe this outline might help you in that awkwardness. But it's okay if it's awkward. Spend time and love Jesus. Remember the word we use at the bottom? It's how to grow. Right? How many of you as a child, when you first started walking, you just got up and walked? Anybody? No. It takes a little while, right? Most babies crawl. And even with crawling, they don't crawl. They get up on their hands and knees and they do this thing. And they just kind of wobble. And then they usually crawl. My daughter didn't. She skipped crawling. She went from rocking to standing to walking. Once she figured out that she was mobile, that she was on. She was lazy, though, once she figured out she could move, it's like, come on, honey. No, I'm fine. Come on, no, I'm fine. And then, wait a minute. You mean I can get over there? And then she got it real quick. But it was still steps to get there. In the same way, we don't all of a sudden become like the greatest, most spiritual people in the world, right? We don't become disciples overnight. It takes time. It takes time learning to pray, learning to hear from God. But can I tell you something? It's a good process. It's a good process. And God will work in your life. He called you to grow in Him. He didn't call you just to go to church. Jesus speaks of abundant life. That's not the person who just goes to church. That's the person that doesn't have free time on Sundays if you just go to church. The abundant life is becoming a disciple of Him, hearing Him. Isn't that awesome? Talking with Him. Having a relationship with Him. When something goes wrong in your life, you know Jesus is there, man. And He shows up and He works. You pray and things happen, right? Gene used to share testimonies all the time of you would pray and God would provide amazing things that were ridiculous. How many would have a testimony we're going to move on because I got an awesome video. But how many would have a testimony if I said, share something that God did that was ridiculous that nobody else could have done? It was absolutely God. Can I see your hand? If you were in a situation, God did something and it was God, and you know it was God, right? God still does the miraculous. Well, you can share with me after, and when we close, you can share with each other what God has done. Awesome. But I want to show a video that I was really excited about. God did something miraculous. This was a few years ago, 2006, I think. I just found the clip. The clip you're going to see is from a secular news source, okay? It's not Christian news. It's not 700 Club. It's none of that. This is secular news where they talk about the weather and how the traffic was. It's news, I believe it's from Florida, where they're going to talk about a report of something I would say is miraculous. We're going to watch this. I shared it on Facebook, I think, last night, so maybe you checked it out on there. But let's watch this together.
Also tonight, a sudden death.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death.
A simple prayer.
And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
And a patient, some swear, was raised from the dead. It's a 19 special report.
Is it a medical mystery or a miracle?
A South Florida man pronounced dead from a massive heart attack, then brought back to life. His doctor says this man was raised from the dead by a simple prayer. The 19's Louis Aguirre has the story.
Dr. Chauncey Crandall isn't your usual doctor. The world-renowned cardiologist is a man of medicine and science, but he's also a man of faith.
If you come in with a problem into our service, we're going to definitely treat you with conventional medicine, but we're going to believe too. We're going to attack it with conventional medicine, and we're going to attack it with prayer.
And we pray for his healing.
He calls himself the Christian physician because he prays with each heart patient he sees at his Palm Beach practice. The difference, he says, is dramatic.
And command your healing.
Well, the reason I pray for people is because early on in my training, I found out that there were miracles. There were unexplained healings.
But even his strong faith couldn't prepare him for what would happen the day Jeff Markin walked into the Palm Beach Gardens emergency room.
So I drove to the Gardens Hospital, went in, took out my wallet, and fell on the floor with a massive heart attack.
For 40 minutes, doctors and nurses in the ER tried to revive him. When they couldn't get his heart started again, they called for Dr. Crandall, who was doing rounds in the hospital at the time.
And as I entered the emergency room, it was like a war zone. Here was this lifeless body on a stretcher,
The doctor couldn't do anything and could only confirm what everyone already knew. Jeff was dead. He had gone almost an hour without a heartbeat, and his body was starting to decompose.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death. And I said, well, let's just call the code. Let's end it, because there's no life left.
As Dr. Crandall turned to leave, he says he got another call. This time, a call from God to pray.
A voice told me, turn around and pray for that man. And I looked down at that body, and I said, Lord, what can I pray for this man? He's gone. All of a sudden, these words came from my mouth.
Father God.
Father God, I cry out for this man's soul, Lord. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now.
Despite protests from doctors and nurses who were preparing Jeff's body for the morgue, Dr. Crandall insisted they shock him one more time.
So that doctor came over with those paddles, blasted that man, and all of a sudden, instantly, a perfect heartbeat appeared on that monitor. The stomach started moving. The chest started moving. This man started breathing on his own. And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
So, where was Jeff during all of this? Well, he believes he left his body and crossed over to the afterlife.
I was actually standing in the back of a funeral home, and I came to realize that this was my funeral.
But in the middle of sitting alone in darkness, Jeff says a figure suddenly appeared to him.
There was a figure who identified himself as Bob, and that he was there to make sure that everything was going to be okay. I'm figuring that was my guardian angel. And at that time, again, a very peaceful feeling, very relaxed feeling came over me. And he said he had to go. And next thing you know, I woke up on my daughter's arms.
He woke up to a second chance, one that can't be explained by medicine or science. As Dr. Crandall puts it, the only answer is divine intervention.
You're speaking to a scientist, a cardiologist, someone who loves medicine. I've never, ever seen this. And there are always people that do not believe these events. And I would just tell them that it did happen. It was a real story, a real life that was restored.
Jeff wasn't exactly a believer before that day. He didn't regularly attend church or read the Bible. But this experience has made him believe there is a higher purpose for his life.
I feel like maybe I'm supposed to be a messenger. I want to get the right message across that miracles do happen.
A miracle that brought him life after death.
I'm so happy. You know, like, I have a second chance.
Well, Jeff says he is now attending church mainly because he wants to figure out why he was chosen for a second chance at life.
Wow. We serve an almighty God. That's why his name is God Almighty. There is nothing too hard for him. We need to pray. Amen? We need to be people of prayer. We need to communicate with God. And for a lot of us, this is a growing thing. For some of you, you might be fine and your prayer life may be awesome. For some of us, this is a growing thing. We need to grow in prayer and get better. Have a relationship with God. He wants to speak to you and He wants you to speak to Him. And when you do that, you'll begin to grow in God. Today I gave you the knowledge you need to talk to God. Today I gave you the tools, prayer. I gave you an outline how to practically do it if you don't have a way that works. I showed you an example. Wow! God raises the dead today. I don't know that man. I know God still raises the dead. If you can discount him, I don't know him. Sounds awesome to me. But God raises the dead. I know he does. And he still works, and he still heals from cancer, and he still does the awesome things like the stuff we prayed for today, even with Colton. God still heals. He still works. He still speaks to people. And my question is, how about you? Do you have the desire to talk to him? I wish I could help you with desire. I can't. I bought an awesome treadmill a couple years ago. Works awesome. I know how to use it. It's a great tool. It's been a coat rack for a while. My coats hardly ever fall on the floor. Expensive coat rack. Truth is, it's not going to function unless I have the desire to get on it. The willpower, if you will. That's how prayer life is. How many here you have the desire to have a good relationship with Jesus? Can I see your hand? You have a desire to pray. You want to have a prayer life that's deep and meaningful. We can do this today. Amen? Let me pray for you. Can I do that? Let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you today. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sins. You rose again so that way we can have a relationship with you. I thank you, Lord, that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, showing to the world, God, that there is nothing that separates us from you. Through Jesus, we have direct access to the Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you today for the gift of prayer, that we get to talk to you, God, that we get to have a relationship with you, that you're not some absent starter of the universe who's missing from anything that's going on, but you care about us and you care about the details and you want us to speak to you and talk and pray even about the small things in our lives. You want to hear and you want to talk and you want to provide our daily bread. Our daily needs. Thank you for providing healing. Thank you for working in those babies' lives we prayed for today. And we pray for continued healing. And I pray for us, God, that you would help us all to have a vibrant prayer life. That from this day forward, Lord, you would help us, give us a desire and a hunger and a thirst for your presence, that we would be people of prayer. People of prayer, God. And I pray even for our Sunday morning prayer time at 9 o'clock, God, that it would just be better than it's ever been. Lord, that you would shape us and help us, God. Help us all with our schedules. That time would be set apart for you. And I pray that our attendance would be better. And people would seek you, God. But not just prayer at church. I pray that prayer in our homes would be better. Prayer around their kitchen tables and living rooms would be better. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. If you're here and you're a husband or a father, can you stand where you are? Stand up where you are if you're a husband or a dad. I want to pray for you. You are, as a husband or a father, you are the man of your household. You are, the Bible says, to be the spiritual leader of the home. And I just want to pray for you that God will bless you, that He will fill you with His presence and help you to lead in all areas, including prayer, okay? Can I pray for you today? Is that all right? Lord, I pray for the men today, God, that you would help them in Jesus' name, that you would fill them with your Spirit, God, that you would help them to be the men who pray, the men who seek you, the men who lead their wives, lead their children and their grandchildren, and even their great-grandchildren, if they have them, or even great-great-great-great-grandchildren, that they lead them all to the throne of God. Help them to be spiritual men who stand for you in all things, I pray. Help them to lead their families in prayer at dinner, Lord, at bedtime, or whenever that time of prayer is in their homes. Help them to do that. Even if it's awkward at first because they haven't done it, I pray that you would just give them the desire to just move past that and to just pray. be with them. Bless them, Lord. If you're a wife or a mom, can you stand where you are as well? I want to pray for you. Lord, we pray for the women, God, that you would bless them. We pray that your blessings would be in their lives, that you would help them to lead as mothers, Lord, that you would help them to encourage their husbands and help them, God, to do all that they need to do in their roles for you, that you, they would give you glory. I pray that you would bless their hearts, give them insight, Lord, give them vision, God. I pray that you would help them to hear from you and to hunger for you and to pray for their kids and to pray for their husbands, we pray. That their homes would be homes of prayer. That their families would be godly. Be with them in Jesus' name. And everybody stand. And Lord, for everybody who's standing, I pray, God, that you would help them to become disciples. Followers of Christ. Lord, that we don't just talk about it, but we be about it, God. That we don't just honor you in word, but we obey you. We're disciples who obey in all areas. Help us, Lord, this week to be different and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.